B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 12:01, and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We are a Beasley Media Group station. Don't forget, coming up at 12:20, the playback. Now, Andrew, the playback, we're going to go back to quarterbacks this week. So we're looking forward to that.
Yes.
Quarterbacks. And we're going to celebrate the great performances, Randall. Today we do Randall. We're going to have five. We're going to have Jaws. We're going to do...
How's everyone doing?
Nick Foles and Jeff Garcia are the five quarterbacks. Notice no Carson. And we're not having Carson in our quarterback celebration for a reason. Because we're expecting him to have the great game, the epic game this season. Right?
Yeah, I would hope so. I think so. As long as Rager can catch the ball, as long as Deshaun Jackson's groin doesn't fall off the bone, or whatever it was, as long as Arthego Whiteside uses his Stanford brain to run around.
A bit of a pause there, brother.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they need to catch the ball, right?
Right.
You know, they need to block, right? Andre Dillard needs to be good, which I hope he is.
Right.
You know, we're putting a lot of money on Andre Dillard here.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know, $100 million. Not in his pocket, but in Carson's pocket.
Right. But the point is
can't be going dump offs to Miles Sanders and Greg Ward every single play.
Right. But the point is that we're doing this for a reason. That we're omitting Carson as to allow Carson to have his moment. You know, we could do the one of the last four games or pick a game out early in his career, second Super Bowl season.
Right.
But I prefer to wait on it and to allow the game. I think he's got epic games in front of him.
Yeah, I could see a 3-touchdown, 400-yard performance.
Right. Epic game in front of him. So, but here's the thing. And Tunis and I, we were talking early this morning, on what the playback should be. And I said, I want to do Heartbreak Week. And you said, no way. People are not into Heartbreak Week. And as soon as I just mentioned it in passing earlier that we're going to talk about it, and right away, no, I don't want to deal with it.
Right.
Was the first tweet.
Yeah, there's a lot of just simple no responses.
There's still a lot more?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we got an no. We got a why.
Oh, I love the no.
Yeah, exactly. Bond, not James Bond, but Bond tweets in, yeah, that's what we need right now. A reminder of the failures of sports in our city over the years. But then here's one response that I agree with the guy in principle. I got to find this. Scrolling down a little bit. Here. I mean, they run through my head about every 15 seconds, so sure, why not?
And I'm with that guy. I'm with that guy. I feel the same way. They run through my head, too. They run through my head. All of those damn losses, they run through my head.
What would your... So
see, here's what I wanted to do. And, like, it's great fodder. Like, and I understand the natural inclination to go, dude, are you out of your mind?
Right.
I want to hang myself by the end of the week. And I can think of all the snarky responses. And those snarky responses would be warranted. However, how good did it feel in 2017 when they won?
Oh, it felt great.
And it goes back to my theory. You must truly bleed to know bliss. And so, Did 2017 wipe away all the tough losses? I say yes, they did. Those losses don't hurt as much since 2017.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about you can just wipe out, right? Like pre-2000? Even though we love going back and talking about like Randall and Seth and Reggie White and Jerome Brown, all those guys.
But part of it, right.
But it's like, you know, you can wipe that stuff out because those teams never won. You can wipe out 2004 even.
Right.
To me, 2017 is all that matters.
Right.
It starts at 16 because that's when you have Wentz and Doug. And that was their first year. And then obviously Wentz didn't win the Super Bowl. Foles did, but that was the beginning.
I mean, that's my point to you.
But the problem is with that notion. So you have the quadruple doink. We don't have anything that wipes that out yet. And then 93, Joe Carter. Did 2008 wipe out 93 for you?
Yes.
See, I don't know because I wasn't alive for the 93 World Series.
It completely wiped it out. Completely wiped it out.
I almost feel like 08 would have wiped out, at least, I mean, this is for me because I wasn't around for 93, but it wiped out all the terrible years of, you know, like 2000 to 2005 because you go, all right, well, at least they were rebuilding during this time and getting these very talented prospects.
Dude, I'm serious. It wiped it out for me. It wiped it out.
What would your five games be? Quadruple doink. Joe Carter.
Are you ready?
You go 2010, Patrick Kane. You're not putting salt in the wound. You're putting like acid in the wound.
Yeah. So right off the bat, my losses that hurt the most. You ready? Tampa.
Yep, 0-2.
Easily the worst loss ever. I put one bloody nil.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think might be the second most difficult loss. Quadruple doink. I got two more, right? See, I don't know if game 7, Edmonton, game, I got to go way back. It's between 3. It's game 6, Islanders, the spring of 81. 87, Edmonton. 2010. Game 6.
I feel like it shouldn't be Edmonton just because of how good that team was. And you go, all right, you took it 7 games.
And dude, they took it 7 games?
Yeah.
And they were like they were close. Like close as you can't imagine how close they were.
I almost feel like the dominance of the Oilers takes it away.
Like they were like, oh, my God, close. Like, they played so good in game 7.
Like, the first three that you give me, you know, one bloody nil, quadruple doink.
Right.
And 0-2, it hurts more because you also felt like those teams could have won.
Yes.
Right? Like, you think the Eagles could have won the Super Bowl in 2002. You think that the Sixers, I mean, we're on the same page. They win that game or they go to overtime. Let's say they win. We think they beat Milwaukee. And then Golden State had 4 injuries in their starting 5.
Yeah.
And then one bloody hell. I mean, it was 2011. They won over 100 games that year. You go, you win that series. You win the World Series.
It's over. It's over. Dude, it's over, man. You win the World. You know, it's over. I don't know, man. I got to tell you. See, do you know the lore of 81, spring of 81 against the Islanders game 6?
Not enough.
Of why it hurt so much. It was because of the blown offside call. Like, dude, Leon Stickle, you've heard of Leon Stickle. Mm-hmm. Horrible. horrible. Now, there's a couple of the Sixers, like Celtic games. They blew the 3-1 lead, dude. That was bad. That was real bad. 1981.
Then in the 80 finals, they were up 2-0, weren't they?
77, they were up 2-0.
77.
I don't remember that. You know, I don't know that. But I know the history. But I would go, the quadruple doink is so fresh, and I love this team. And man, oh, man. I still go back to that game. And you don't have anything that have cleansed it ever since. So, all right, so pick a Flyers. I either got to go game 6, 80, or 2010. We'll put that as a tie. And then my fifth one would either be Carolina.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 04. Or Arizona championship game.
So you go 3 Eagles over 93.
No. Oh, 93. I forgot 93.
With Joe Carr. I mean, but then again, it was like, you know, you had that
I think of bad games, like wounded games. I think of one bloody nil, man, over Joe Carter. Is that wrong? Like, to me, that was more devastating than Joe Carter.
No, it's not wrong because.
But it shouldn't be because.
One's World Series, one's NLDS.
Right.
But one was a 100-win dominant team versus a team like, oh my God, I can't believe the Phillies got to the playoffs, let alone the World Series.
Exactly. All right, we got to take a quick TO. We'll bat this around after the playback, but we got a playback coming up next. You don't want to miss it. This is a great one. This is Randall, as we celebrate quarterbacks, at the Vet against the Patriots, November the 4th, 1990. It's Cuz Radio with Tunis, 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's talk about Philly sports trips. Oh, my God, they're the best. Hey, hearing that news by Stephen Ross, his belief, the owner of the Dolphins, thinks that, you know, we're in football. He said, we're back. We're planning on it, football. And he started thinking about the schedule, and all of a sudden there's the away trip of a lifetime. San Francisco, October the 4th. Birds at Niners. What a game. Sunday night football. Levi Stadium. Oh, it'll be outrageous. We're going to go out there on a Friday. We'll hang out. It's a great spot. San Francisco, amazing city. Amazing city. You'll have a view of the San Francisco Bay. We're going to do a Cuz cruise on a yacht. Tunis will have the hat on. It's going to be incredible. And then we go to the game. Great tailgate by Cavs Catering. Bob, he does it up. Vince, Liz, Philly Sports Trips, they do such a great job. We did last year in Miami. I've told you about it many times. It's tremendous. They're going to do another trip to Lambeau, which is Mecca. We may go on that one, too. Check it out. These guys, first class all the way. PhillySportsTrips.com. That's PhillySportsTrips.com. Don't worry. Something happens. All your money will go to a future trip. Once again, PhillySportsTrips.com. And come to San Fran with us. All the Birds fans, get nuts.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. Cuz Radio with the Tunis. All right, we like to do our playback at 12:20 every day. One of the things that's so much fun is when we do this stuff, the Chunas gets to go back and kind of relive history. And I'm curious, like, what did you think when you did this?
I have one major takeaway from Randall that I noticed right away. Major takeaway.
Really?
He does not step into his throws.
No, he's all back foot.
Back foot, but the ball was like he threw a beautiful ball.
Yeah, amazing, right?
But how many times do you talk about stepping into your throw and...
Yeah.
Now, I guess part of it is probably the mindset of, oh my God, I led the league in getting sacked like 8 times in my career.
Right.
So I'm always on the move.
Right.
But, I mean, there were a couple touchdown passes that you'll hear where he had plenty of time and the receiver was wide open and he just, you know, floated it, steps, you know, back foot. And I noticed that his first touchdown pass from this game, and I was like, oh my God, does he do that every play?
Right.
And he did.
It was, you know, it's funny. You that's a great catch by you, an incredible catch by you, because that's what he did. He would do that constantly. His mechanics were awful.
Hey, that would drive anyone nuts.
Awful. His mechanics were terrible. And so you imagine these coaches, you know, these coaches hate that stuff.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. They try to fix you.
Yeah, I mean, they hate it. They're like, what's wrong with you? Blah, blah, blah. And he was such a raw beast, right? Like, he was so raw. I mean, Andrew, I can't tell you, like, just amazing how raw the talent he was. He was outrageous. He really was. He was an outrageous talent. Shame. Because he had that kind of, wow, like he had that kind of ability. Like he should have been better. Like he should have been one of the all-timers. You know that? Like one of the all-timers he should have been. It's a shame. All right. Let's go back to it, though. This is a game where it's epic Randall. Randall. Start. Here's your dateline, November 4th, 1990, live Philadelphia Veterans Stadium. The Eagles were 3-4 heading into this game against the New England Patriots. It was the NFL on NBC, Joel Myers and Ahmad Rashad on the call. Let's start it out. Eagles force a 3-and-out to start the game. So let's start with the Eagles offense coming onto the field.
The offensive line, you might remember last year, Ron Heller was the starting right tackle. This year, he's on the left side for the Philadelphia Eagles. David Alexander anchoring things up the middle. At the backfield, Heath Sherman getting the start instead of Anthony Toney, one of the two inactives today for the Eagles, as Toney has a groin injury. And with a go to the extra wide receiver, Kenny Jackson. The wideout coming in. Heath Jackson, the tight end, stays in the contest. Heath Sherman getting the call. And good yardage, about 5, up to the 21-yard line.
Look at that, Heath Sherman. These names mean anything for you?
Yeah, just from doing some research.
Yeah. Heath Sherman with the call, baby. Love it. He got the ball driving. All right, let's continue. After Randall's call for intentional grounding, Birds line up on a 2nd and 22. Randall, first down.
Loss of down, 2nd and 22. Pressure on Cunningham. He's getting it up for Heath Sherman. Beat the outside linebacker Singleton, and I believe he's got enough for the first down. Yes, he does, to the 16-yard line.
There you see Randall Cunningham. Watch this. He feels the pressure, and he doesn't panic. He knows he's going to get hit. Lets this ball off to Heath Sherman, hits him right on the numbers, and Heath Sherman just rambles down the sideline, punishing Fred Marion before going out of bounds.
How about that? Ahmad.
I think he's great.
He's not bad, right?
And do you know who Joel Myers sounds like?
Who?
Tell me he doesn't sound like Scott Graham.
Wow, I'll have to listen close. Well,
I had to make sure like 5 times that I had the right names on your sheet.
Really?
It sounds just like him.
All right, I gotta hear because I don't know. Eagles get a field goal to drive. They go up 3-0. Now, before we get back to the Cunningham highlights, 2 weeks ago, We talked about some of the greatest moments in Eagles defensive history. A couple of times you heard the name Andre Waters. Listen to Ahmad Rashad, who got to speak with an angry Andre before the game.
Well, Ahmad, when you talked to Andre Waters yesterday, and he has said that he's not talking with the media, but you did corral him in the locker room, he mentioned that he really is upset, isn't he, over one of the announcers, one of the other networks, saying he was a cheap shot artist.
And not only that, he felt like the announcer was making personal attacks on his personality, and it's not true. He said, he's a guy, I play as hard as I can, I'm in a very violent football game, and I'm not out to try to really hurt anybody. They make me out like I'm some sort of an assassin, and I don't have that in my heart at all.
How about that, Andre?
That's probably that Deerdorf that was saying it.
Yes, it was. Deerdorf hated Andre. Dirty Waters. Oh, ha, ha. All right. Patriots end up tying the game with a field goal of their own. But now let's get some vintage Randall. Number 12. Here he is. First down on a 3rd and 2 with his legs. Next play with his arm for 37.
Good start for Randall Cunningham. Only 3 misses so far. Now it's a 3rd and 2. He's got room to run it. And he will pick the first down on his own. Takes it out of bounds. More than enough for the first down in New England territory. Down to the 37-yard line. 1st and 10 from the Patriots' 37-yard line. Cunningham will find it only not as a man. Second time today, Ahmad. They have blown a coverage by a good 15 yards in the secondary.
And here you see Cunningham. Excellent line blocking by the Philadelphia Eagles. He just finds Barnett wide open down the middle for the score. And one of the reasons is, in this new offense, Richie Kotite, they run the same play from 8 or 10 different formations, which tends to confuse the defense. That had to be some confusion there because there's nobody around Barnett as he makes the catch.
You're right about Scott Graham.
Right? Doesn't it sound just like him?
Yeah. Joel Myers. That's amazing. He does. Scott Graham sounds just like him.
I'm telling you, I had to be like, wait, is that definitely...
No, it sounds just like him. You're right. Classic early 90s Eagles here. Take a listen to all this in one highlight, all right? A great Eagles chant from the vet, followed by some incredible stats for the Birds. And remember, they're just 3-4 on the season. And they finally listen to the highlight. Cunningham getting sacked.
The Eagles by 7. 11:29 left in the first half. 1st and 10 at the 20-yard line for the Eagles in their third possession of the afternoon. Well, are the Eagles the best losing team in the NFL? A case can be made for it. They rank 6th offensively, 8th in team defense, and they've picked up more first downs than any team in the NFC, with the exception of the 7-0 San Francisco 49ers. But they, as Randall Cunningham mentioned yesterday, have been killing themselves with mistakes. 2nd and 7, Cunningham. Tippett's got him. Andre Tippett with a big sack inside the 10.
Wow. Andre Tippett was nasty. Patriots, he was there. I always remembered him. This was like the stinky Patriots, but Andre Tippett was terrific. Yeah, they were, you know, it was amazing, all that talent. They were poorly coached. Like, that's where coaching, like, Rich Kotite was a terrible coach. I mean, Buddy Ryan was a bad coach. Like, he was a great defensive coordinator, but he was a horrible game day coach. He didn't coach his offense. He had Kotite as his coordinator. And Kotite was bad as a head coach. And then Ray Rhodes was bad. He was a defensive coordinator. So the reason why they lost and should have won is all because of the coach. It's underrated in that league what a great coach means to success. But we digress. Let's show some love again to the Eagles defense. 3rd and 8. Steve Grogan. All right? Listen to this as he takes a shot by Wes Hopkins.
Tough, tough start for Steve Grogan. Not much protection, though. Takes another shot. Throwing it up for Irving Fryer. Can't hang on. Almost a brilliant catch. But it was a blitz by Wes Hopkins, and he buried Steve Grogan.
Wes Hopkins. Hopkins, number 48. You'll see Reggie White there, number 92. You'll see Wes Hopkins coming a little late. There he is, and he just nails Steve Grogan. Steve Grogan can't continue to play like that and get beat up the way he's been beat up there.
He's a beast, Hopkins missile coming in. Grogan winds up leaving the game. I love that Eagle defense. All right. Now listen to this. Listen to how smart of a fan base that we are. This goes back to 1990, this game. The Patriots are about to punt. The Eagles have already muffed two punts. The first one by Marvin Hargrove. The second by Anthony Edwards. Edwards goes on the field, and he's booed lustily. Before the punt, they pull Edwards and put Hargrove back in and listen to the fans at the vet.
The Patriots are just waiting to be put away, and the Philadelphia team cannot put them away. They keep coming up with all kinds of strange turnovers, giving New England a chance to stay in this football game. And here comes Edwards off the field. They will not let him return this punt. He's been replaced by Marvin Hargrove, who dropped one earlier. So this is his reprieve. Hargrove dropped one early in the first quarter. They took him out. Now he's back in.
Hanson gets away a beauty, sending Hargrove back to his own 30. And Hargrove hangs on. You'll hear some prompt cheers from this crowd at Veterans Stadium. They hold on to it after the 40-yard line.
This is the loudest this crowd has been all day just because Hargrove held on to the punt.
Can I just say, oh my God, how that these fans are the greatest.
That was awesome.
Oh my God. You know what we're going to do next week? I already know what we're doing. We're not doing heartbreak. We're doing an ode to the fan base. Great fan games. Oh my God. That was just outrageous. Are you kidding me? What fan base would have that chain of reaction to a punt return?
Not only to the guy that gets pulled, he's booed as he walks on the field. They don't snap, so they take him off, and then they start cheering. Like, that was perfect.
I mean, they were like, wow, like they started laughing because it was crazy. All right, first play on the next drive. Here's Randall. Back from his own 40, he finds Calvin Williams on a big play.
So the Eagles get it. Their own 40-yard line, Cunningham throwing. And like all day, he's got all day. Going for Calvin Williams, it's complete. Down to 22. Pete Rodnick's winning the play, coming over to help out.
Calvin Williams has also redeemed himself. If you'll remember, early in the first quarter, he dropped a touchdown pass. He's at the top of your screen, just runs a little bit of a corner pattern, and this ball is thrown perfectly.
All right, so the Eagles get three on that drive. Patriots come back on an Irving Fryer touchdown to make it 13-10. We got a ball game. All right, Eagles now, two-minute drill. First half, almost over, 3rd and 10, and Cunningham, another first down.
3rd and 10 for Cunningham. He beats Brent Williams. He can run for the first down, and he gets past LeVette as Singleton finally catches up with him, but another first down by way of Randall Cunningham's scrambling ability.
You know, this is professional football, but I see him doing things to professional players like people do in the parks.
Randall Cunningham in only his 6th year.
Tarkington.
By next year, he'll be surpassing Fran Tarkington in his 18 seasons on the ground.
Yeah, it's Fitz's Randall, dude. And in the next play, where they're looking to get a field goal, here's Randall to that Keith Jackson.
Don't forget at halftime, look back at the Raiders-Chiefs rivalry. Scores and highlights with Bob Costas, O.J. Simpson, and Will McDonough.
Uh-oh.
10 down to the 37 of New England. Cunningham going for the bundle, looking for Keith Jackson. He's got it. Touchdown, Eagles. He has been heard from in a big way in the first. first half this afternoon after catching only 18 passes in his first five games this year.
How about it? There he was, Keith Jackson. Randall hits him in stride. Beauty. Eagles up 20-10 at halftime. Defense forces a quick three and out, so the Eagles have the ball again. Take a listen to this run by Fred Barnett, Arkansas Fred, on a reverse. And who has the key block?
Buddy Ryan has told us before, if they wanted a 1,000-yard rusher, they could have one. But that's not the way they play offensive football in Philadelphia.
Rich Kotite has a very good offensive plan.
The reverse to Fred Barnett, and he's got blocking out in front. Another first down. Inside the 25-yard line.
And one of his blockers out front was Randall Cunningham, looking for somebody to block. Here's a reverse, a pitch back to Byers. Outside handoff to Barnett, around right in. And you see, you see Randall Cunningham blocking Andre Tippett. There is not another quarterback in the league that would even attempt that. But with that great athletic ability by Cunningham, he gets out there and tries to put a block on Andre Tippett.
Did you hear the Eagle chant in the background?
Yes, I did. It was great.
Incredible. All right, same drive, second and eight. Down at the Patriots, 22. Cunningham, back to pass. He's looking, and he finds this man.
At this point in the season, it doesn't matter who you play, you got to beat anybody. There are no easy games.
Cunningham, looking deep. That's Calvin Williams. Touchdown, Philadelphia.
That was a very well-executed play. Great line blocking. Very good fake by Randall Cunningham. And he had a chance to hit one of two receivers. He could have hit Keith Jackson for a first down, but he opted to go for it all and hit Williams in the end zone.
How about it? Calvin Williams, touchdown. Amazing. Cunningham having a day. Three touchdowns there. So here it is. Let's go to the fourth quarter. Patriots get a field goal. It's 27-13 Birds. Eagles will defense here. Let's listen to what they say about Reggie White. And then the play that makes out to be perfect time.
Seth Jordan goes up and almost comes down with the grab. But Reggie White said, you know, sometimes I wish I wasn't so good. Then I get to play a guy one-on-one. Reggie White is as good as they got.
Delay for John Stevens. You were talking about, what was his name again? Reggie White. Yes, sir.
He is the Minister of Defense and just a great person. Reggie White is, when you talk about heroes and guys that should be heroes, Reggie White is one of the fine human beings in this National Football League and one of the finest defensive ends to have ever played. Talking to Buddy Ryan, he said, you know, when I was at Minnesota, I had Carl Eller and Alan Page and all those guys. He said, Reggie White is better than all of them.
Reggie, that's awesome, man. All right, Eagles on offense, they get the ball. They get the ball back. They drive all the way down to the New England 3. And now Cunningham looking for his fourth touchdown pass of the day.
Here we go. First and goal from the 3-yard line. Cunningham throwing to wide open Keith Jackson. Touchdown, Eagles.
When you are able to pound the ball in the interior of the line as well as Philadelphia has done, and then you take Randall Cunningham, who fakes it into the middle of the line and fires to a freed up Keith Jackson, that is just excellent offensive football.
Keith Jackson, of course, his second of the day, one of the great underrated players of all time. He was Antonio Gates before Antonio Gates, Jonas.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a great player, man. Patriots able to score the next drive. It wouldn't matter. It's 34-20. And now, take a listen to Randall. He did it with his arm all day long. Again, another touchdown, and this one with his legs.
Under 8 minutes left in the fourth. A 14-point Eagle lead. They're grinding it out now. That's been the story in the second half. They've only had it two times before this. They've both been long drives. time-consuming drives that have resulted in touchdowns. Mickey Schumer stopping. Randall Cunningham wants to carry it. He's got the first down on second down. And then some. Cunningham down the sideline. He'll score.
Buddy Ryan loves that. As we hear, I've got the power. That's exactly what Randall Cunningham had today.
You'll have to go way back to find out the last time the Eagles had two runners over 100 yards on the day. But that's the case today with Randall Cunningham over 100 yards on the ground. And Heath Sherman the same.
Wow. That's amazing, man. What a great player. He was such a talented Tunis. Randall had it all, man. Amazing talent. All right, here's how the game ends. They wound up scoring again on a Roger Vick touchdown. They win it 48-20. And here's how it sounded.
And for the very first time this year, a sigh of relief from Buddy Ryan as he waves to his counterpart across the way, because for the very first time this season, his team is at the 500 mark. The Eagles at 4-4 as the Patriots drop to 1-7, tied for the worst record of the NFL coming in today with the Minnesota Vikings. Second half was controlled and owned by the Philadelphia Eagles. Randall Cunningham, better than 300 yards of total offense on his own.
He put on a clinic here today, and it was kind of nice to watch that. One of the greatest quarterbacks in the business right now.
There it was, Randall. All right, so a couple things. One, every time we do our playback, we always have open lines. Great time to get in. 610-632-0975. Two, we're doing quarterback week. And if you were alive and saw Randall, tell guys like Andrew about him and how he should have been so much better. Should have been so much better. And then I want to get to in addition to that, I want to get into the idea of heartbreak. And if winning a title erases heartbreak. Lots to get to, Cuz Radio with the Tunis, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
As always, Tunis, always ask you, what did you learn after doing one of the playbacks, going back and listening to all those incredible moments? So I'll ask you, buddy, what did you learn?
I learned that Randall threw on his back foot. That was the first thing that I took away.
Yeah.
The Patriots weren't always that good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were 1-6 going to that game.
Right. They were terrible.
And I learned that I thought Ahmad Rashad was great as the color analyst in that. Like, I was actually very impressed by Rashad and Scott Graham's twin in Joel Myers. But Ahmad Rashad really liked the offense. And when you just look back at the history, the offense wasn't that good. It was Randall by himself, pretty much.
Yeah,
how many times did you hear him say, like, oh my God, just this offense and the play design, they run the same play 8 times just in different formation. Well,
yeah, that's a bad thing.
Yeah, exactly. defense is caught on to that, Ahmad. They go, oh, look, they're doing that play again.
Yeah.
They just have the tight end on the other side.
Now we know what they're doing. It's terrible, man. They were horrible. It's amazing. That cost us. Like, if Andy Reid was coaching back then, we would have won a Super Bowl. Without a doubt.
As long as they gave Randall an offensive line.
Yes.
Because I swear, that's why he was throwing on his back foot. Even when he had a clean pocket.
It's unbelievable, dude.
But how about that one stat that they said? Like, you know, they were sixth in offense, eighth in defense, most first downs in the league, and they were 3-4 going to that game.
Yeah.
Because you had guys who had muffed punts twice, right?
Well, they were undisciplined. Ew, they were terrible. Like, they were just bad. It's amazing how bad they were. Like, they were terrible. It was a sin how bad they were. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It was criminal. Like, they shouldn't have been as inept. First of all, the coaching was horrible, and they were sloppy. They were poorly coached on every level. Every level, they were poorly coached. And it is amazing. I think back to it. It's amazing to me how I love Buddy too, and he was an incredible defensive coach. But dude, he was so bad. I mean, Coach Height was so bad.
Right.
He was a nice man, Coach Height, real nice man. He was a former boxer, but he was like a palooka. He was terrible.
Now let me ask you something, because I'm actually curious, because you know we played the Wes Hopkins hit where he knocks out the Patriots quarterback. Was there ever, like, did anyone ever talk about this post-career that said, like, when I saw that we were playing the Eagles on the schedule, I wouldn't like it?
Oh, yeah.
Like, outside the division, because obviously, you know, Giants, Cowboys, Redskins at the time, yeah, were the Cardinals still in the division at that time, but, like, outside the division, when they saw, oh, man, I got to play this Eagles defense.
Yeah.
They're going to take a couple shots here.
Yeah, terrible. I mean, the people used to be afraid of them. I mean, big time afraid, dude. Big time. Like, they were, like, so... They were nasty, dude. They were just a nasty defense, and nobody wanted to play them. And it fit right in. Nobody wanted to come to Veterans Stadium. Because the place was a dump.
Oh, yeah.
It was loud. The people were kooks, as you cared. Like, we were crazy. So, nobody wanted to come. I mean... It was like you went to an alley fight. Nobody wanted to do it.
With 80,000 people?
Yeah, nobody wanted to come here. It was so raw. You know, I'm telling you, I'm doing a project on Philadelphia in the 70s.
Yes.
Right? It's like that whole decade. And it's born into, like, really, it didn't change up until 2000s. I mean, up until recently, really, like the last 10 years, they didn't see any kind of real dramatic change. But it was raw. During that time, like that game goes back to 1990, it was still raw, man. It was a raw town. It was hard. It was tough. I mean, it was the epitome of that. And, it, you know, some ways it was ugly. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I bet.
It was ugly. It was that nasty, like, we were nasty. Nasty joint, man. Let's go to the phone line, 610-632-0975. I love talking about this stuff after. It is great. Let's go and talk to Paul. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Paul.
Anthony, how are you?
What's happening, buddy?
It's good talking to you. I called you a few weeks ago, and, you know, I was the guy who had called about the FBL years ago, and I figured I didn't want another 20 years to go by without talking to you.
Oh, great.
So let
me
call you right away.
I love it.
And,
I love it.
Yeah, and since things have unfortunately turned, you know, took a bad turn for me, I figured, hey, let me get a call while I still can.
Oh, so,
but, it's all right. Hey, the good news is, sure, you know, I got to go back downtown to treatments every couple of days, but at least I get a few hours away from the wife, so it works out for the best.
Well, we're praying for you, brother.
I appreciate it. Listen, you know what? So my birthday is tomorrow. I'll be 39, God willing. He keeps me around until tomorrow. But I'm right between you and Andrew. And, you know, so I can relate to you. I can relate to him. The vet, Eagles fans, us, we were animalistic. We were like caged lions that hadn't been fed in a few days. And when these teams came in, they had to deal with the team, but they had to deal with the fans. And no one, Andrew, no one wanted to come into the vet. It's not like now, you know, you got the, I love the Eagles. I will always love the Eagles. They gave me, aside from my kid being born, they gave me the greatest night of my life, which was, you know, that Super Bowl win. But nobody cares about coming into the link. But the vet, even Montana was terrified of coming into the vet.
Yeah, he was.
And he almost talked about it. I'm going to try to get all my points in. You know what Randall needed? He needed, and you talked about it 100 times already, he needed a great coach. Can you imagine Randall with a guy like Mike Holmgren or even Seifert, the way Holmgren took care of Favre, the way yeah. Seifert took care of Young, got them to settle down?
Sure.
What could have
sure.
What could have been?
Amen, brother. You're right on, man.
Absolutely. And as far as heartbreak, we need heartbreak. You know why? Because heartbreak keeps us on our toes. Heartbreak ends up giving us faith and hope. And we always had, as Eagles fans, as Philadelphians, we always have faith and hope that things are going to get better, that things are going to come around, that our time will come. And you know what? Yeah, we lost some heartbreaking games. It's kind of like missing out on, you know, getting with that girl that you really wanted to down at the shore. That's okay, you know, but you end up in the end, end up with a great girl, or you end up with a Super Bowl victory, and you need that. So you know what? For me, I say you play the heartbreak games, you play them all, and it makes us appreciate what we have now, man.
Ah, that's a beautiful call, brother. Listen, you know we're rooting for you, brother. You get through this.
Thank
man.
You.
God bless
you, man. It's awesome talking to you, man.
Always
thank
great
you.
Talking to you, brother. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. Yeah, I got to tell you, I think he's right about the heartbreak. I know your first blush, you go, no, 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 no. But it does, it makes you feel, like any game that makes you feel is a good game. Is something to remember. Like, it's something to remember. If I understand if the Eagles had never won the Super Bowl, God, would you feel like going back to relive in 2002? But now you can have more of a curiosity as to how that game really played out without really worrying about knowing that you have the cushion of the Super Bowl. No,
I don't know. You don't have that cushion from the Sixers in 2017, though, or 18. You don't have that cushion after the Raptors shot. Yeah. You don't have the cushion for the Flyers. You have a thoughts of a bright future, but we don't have a cushion.
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.